So today we're going to keep working through chapter 5 and actually probably finish off the theoretical part of it, which will free us up to start talking about kinetics on Thursday. So we're going to start talking about how the forces play into all this stuff. We've been primarily kinematics so far, right? Test is still going to be on schedule, so that is not next Tuesday, but the following one. So we'll talk on Tuesday, it's a week from today, about what's going to shake out on that. It basically will be all material through next Tuesday is fair game. But there will be probably a little bit of concentration on the stuff you've actually had homework problems on. So that means the first four chapters. Right. But we'll talk in more detail about that week from today. Okay, so let's start out by looking at example 5.1. Let me try to draw this up best I can. So we have a disk that is rotating Z, and the disk is rotating at an angular rate of omega 2 about that axis. We have here set of two masses of mass M. They're equal mass. The bar itself is massless. It's running out to some kind of motor thing that's spinning it. And let's align an axis with the shaft. Help you out there. Call that one X prime. Okay. And what we have in that case is this guy is turning at an angular speed of omega 1. That direction, right? Okay. The bar is symmetric. So from the center point connection, this is kind of a solid bar. From the center connection, you have R to each mass from that center point. Let's call that center point point C. Okay, do we need anything else? We need one more angle. So if this is the vertical line into C, extend that up like that. That's theta. Anything else? Let's make sure. Let's kind of make sure all our notation is matching. We'll call that point O. Okay, and then we have this distance as well. So kind of from the vertical axis along this to C is L. Okay, so from O to C is L. Okay. What we want here we want the angular momentum of this two mass bar system, and we want that about point C. We want the forces and moments at point C. You should be able to characterize based on the first point. Okay. And we want kinetic energy of the system. Okay, why don't you guys give that a shot, setting it up, and then we'll come back together in a few minutes. Okay, where do we start? I Can define some coordinate system that's about the bar. Sure. How do I, what do you want to pick for that? How do you want to pick that?
Z's pointed up, but you didn't do like a Z prime. That's the long look.
So you want a X, Y, Z that's fixed to the bar. So omega 1 and theta are always about X prime. Sure, you could do that. So I could have, I'm going to call that Z1. X1, and then Y1 is something kind of into the board, right? If we did X prime, so yeah, that's not a bad frame either for us. Should be straight. Anybody choose any different frames? So we have, in this case, X prime, Y prime, Z prime. That's fixed to the disk. And X prime is kind of the position vector along that guy. And then you said we have, well, X1, Y1, Z1. Fixed to the two-mass bar. Okay, if we're going to figure out angular momentum for this two-mass pair, what's the first choice we have to make? And it's kind of made already for you in this problem, but I want to talk through it anyway. Talking about angular momentum of a particular system. Your choice kind of embedded in that. It's kind of similar choice that if you're trying to determine the sum of the moments. Yeah, you have to pick where you're going to sum those moments about, what you're going to calculate the angular momentum about. Right. The problem already is specified in this case, C. Why is C a good choice in this case? It's the center of mass of those two masses. Right. So this is a good choice. Because C is the center of mass of that two-mass system that's spinning. That makes this part a bit easier too. And that. So the book's kind of pointed you in the direction that, hey, this is a good choice. And it is a good choice. The center of mass is usually a good one. If we're going to figure out angular momentum, what do we need to know about that system? We might need to know a moment of inertia. So to figure out angular momentum, we need to know some kind of inertia properties, for sure. What else do we need to know? Close. We don't need just the rotation rates. What do we need? Rotation rates only give us half the picture. I need the angular velocity. Right. So I'm going to figure out angular momentum, I need angular velocity. I need the kind of rotational inertia properties and angular velocity. Just like if we're trying to calculate linear momentum, I need masses and translational velocities. Okay. So for this two-mass system, what is the angular velocity? Let's write it k prime. Yeah, minus, right? This is in that minus I direction. Okay. If I'm going to define, if we have a collection of points, There's kind of a shortcut we can take here to get to the angular momentum. Right? And we'll come back to calculating moments of inertia and why. Right? So if I have a collection of points, I'm going to write the general equation, and we're looking for the angular momentum about point A, and let's say I have n points, point masses of mass mj, right? It's just rj relative to A cross omega cross rj relative to A. Okay. And we went through kind of this procedure when we were looking at getting those for a rigid body. And we'll look back around and look at what it would take to use the straight up inertia properties. Well, in this case, we know that's just M1. What we're really looking for is H about C. So really what we need is the position of mass 1. Let's call this guy 1. Two, position of one relative to C cross with omega one relative to C. Oops. Then we have mass 2, position of mass 2 relative to C cross omega cross 2 relative to C. And if we work that out, I'll write out, we'll skip all the math in between. I'm going to assume you guys can do cross products. Let's make a one, right? Okay, actually, kind of skipped a step. What is the position of point 1 relative to C? I think maybe worth thinking about what that is. Yeah, you can do it right that way if you want to use that guy. R in the K1 direction, but we need it. We have our omega in this prime axis, right? So we need to come. So I could write a rotation matrix to go from 1 back to this guy, right? Or I could go straight there. And yeah, it's just R G prime. Plus, yeah, it's going to be a plus. Well, that's just going to be right. So it's just the opposite of that. Always. And that actually simplifies a lot of this math, if you kind of recognize that point. Okay. Before we move on to forces and moments, let's talk about how we would, or what we would need to do to solve this if we're going to do a moment of inertia. Okay. So what do I need to do? This is if I'm going to solve via moment of inertia rather than from the point mass formula. Well, let me ask this a different way. What's the challenge if I'm going to use this, if I'm going to do this with the from moments of inertia? Can I use this X prime, Y prime, Z prime axis anymore? Is it easy without axis? Don't say no, because all this stuff seems hard right now. Right? Well, what's the problem with the X prime, Y prime, Z prime axis relative to those masses? Well, think about how these masses are moving in that frame, right? Is the moment of inertia about Y prime fixed? Within the X prime, Y, about the Y prime axis? Is I Y prime fixed? If the orientation of those masses are changing relative to that axis? Right. Okay. Yes. Good. Right. So this guy, the X prime axis is not a problem. Right. These guys are always or about that moment of inertia, no problem at all. Right. But you're going to need the Y prime moment of inertia. Right. So these guys change in Y prime, they change in Z prime. So that will create some difficulties if we try to use those prime axes. Because the moment of inertia itself is changing about those axes based on the rotation thing. So in that case, I probably want to pick a body fixed axis, which we'll see. And we've kind of talked about a little bit already. I'm trying to calculate angular momentum for rigid bodies. You typically want to do that about a body fixed axis. So then, if I'm going to pick a body fixed axis, right, I probably want to use the x1, y1, z1. What does that complicate for us, though? Yeah, writing this part of the angular velocity. But you could get there. Just have to write the rotation. The rotation matrix to get from z1, from the x1, y1, z1 back over to z prime, or be able to write z prime in terms of x1, y1, z1. It's valid for all time. It's probably a good exercise for you guys. You have the answer this way. Go back and work it via moments of inertia. Kind of treat this, rather than treating these two guys as two point masses, treat them as a rigid body. And then go through the same process. You should get to the same answer over there. Okay. So we have the first part done. We figure out the forces and moments at point C. Let's start with forces, maybe. How do I figure out the forces at point C? We have the weights. We know the masses, yeah. Yeah. Right. What are the forces equal to? Yeah, exactly. Right. Get it right. Mass times acceleration. Right. And we saw that was valid for the center of mass of the system, right? And our m here is the total mass of the system, which is actually 2m. Right? We have m plus m. Okay, so we just had to fill in components. Well, to figure out what the sum of the forces is, are at point C, we just have to figure out, we have the mass, we just need the acceleration part. So, what's the acceleration at point C? If you don't know right offhand, tell me how to get there.
So it would be its acceleration in its coordinate frame, and then which is zero. Well, the angular component is zero, but then it would be plus the acceleration of it around like the entire thing.
Okay, so I think you're basically talking through this equation. Is that what you were thinking? Okay. Sure. So what if that what terms there go away? Well, first, what are this alpha and omega here in this equation? What do they represent?
Omega 2 and alpha 2.
Omega 2 and alpha 2. More generally, what's the conceptually what they represent? Yeah, so the frame that you're trying to write this vector in, right? So in this case, we can kind of write, this is like x prime, y prime, z prime frame there. Same thing throughout. Okay. We have, so what can we simplify in this equation? What's the acceleration of 0.0? Zero, it's fixed in that frame. What's the acceleration of, and then if we're talking about the prime frame, these are prime too, right? Relative to zero, why?
It's not really.
Well, they're basically on the same fixed body. Right? So the within this frame, they're always exactly the same distance apart. Right? So that guy goes to zero. This guy goes to zero. What's the angular, if we say omega 2 is constant, which I think we do in this problem. We don't really say that, but let's assume it for now. If that guy is constant, omega 2, then what's the angular acceleration of that frame?
Zero.
Zero, right, because the direction is fixed. So the speed is also fixed, that guy goes to zero. Angular velocity of the frame, just omega 2 z prime. Right. And then I know this is always our c relative to o is what? L I prime direction. K prime. So yeah, I think based on the solution he gives in the books, we're assuming omega 2 is constant. Okay. So we can say that goes to zero. So we have omega 2 k prime. With minus L. Cos J prime. So we got a sign error.
It's the minus L.
K cross I is plus J. K cross J minus I. So we know the sum of the forces, then that's minus 2m L2 omega 2 squared prime. Okay, does that make sense physically? back up. Was the acceleration we got make sense physically? I see some nods. Yes. Why? Is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of motion does the sea undergo? If you recognize, you could have saved all that work we just did.
Just in pure rotation.
Yeah, it's pure rotation. Right? Sea is just moving in a pure circle here at a fixed rotation rate. Right? So you can go straight here. V squared over rho. What's rho in this case? Yeah, it's L. What's E n? Yep, it's going to be I there. And that negative actually comes. Negative I prime. Okay. What's V? L W2, omega 2, that's just the speed, not the, right? Substitute all that stuff in and you get this, or you get that, and save yourself a lot of cross products and stuff, right? So as a reminder, that's a good reminder here, it's kind of a simple one, think about what's happening physically, right? Don't just blindly follow a method. You should still get to the right answer if you're following the right method, but it quite often it's going to take you a lot more work to get there, which also means a lot more chance for mistakes. Okay. So then that gets us to some of our forces. I'm going to erase this guy. Leave all the other part up. Okay. How about the moments about point C? What are some of the moments about point C? I'm just making sure that this should work out.
Because the forces we just found are being applied at where the masses are, correct?
No, that was the forces at C.
Oh, at C. Okay.
So hold on to that. It should work. Okay. We have, I think, a more direct route on the board already. Some of the moments is what? Yeah. Total time derivative of angular momentum. If I'm going to take the total time derivative of that vector, what do I need to do? Where the angular velocity is what angular velocity? Of the frame. So in that case, that's...
And you're ignoring the first section of the moment at C because it's a C is at the center of mass, right?
C is at the center of mass, yes. So I'm going to... So make sure we're all on the same page. What's this kind of derivative type thing here? Yeah, we say that's a relative derivative. So that's the derivative of that, assuming that the frame is fixed, that these those unit vectors are fixed in direction. Okay. And then that their change in direction is taken care of over here. Okay. So again, I'm going to trust you that you can, I'm going to trust you guys can do math. Okay. So that's moments at sea. And yeah, that's probably a good exercise to work this out. And actually, you can check the book, check the book for the math on this, and then do R across F. Although if F is always towards the center, I think you don't. I think you end up missing some of the terms. Because that's all. That's always at C, right? The moment arm zero. Yeah, okay. Kinetic energy. How do we get to that? Typically write it as T. Total system kinetic energy.
Well, we can start just with thinking about it, just the pure rotation about point C. And we can do the 1/2 omega cross the momentum. Or is it cross or times?
So I'm not sure I'm following. I mean, I get that you're trying to take some rotational stuff around C. Why can you do that? Why are you trying to do that?
Because I was thinking that because your masses are just in pure rotation about C, and just like think of it just in that frame, and then add the second component, which is C rotating about O.
I think thinking about it that way for this particular problem might get you there, but I think it's going to be dangerous for you later.
Okay.
Right. So what's the general equation for kinetic energy? Sounds like some of you guys were looking at it. And I'm going to explicitly put mass system here so we know it's not just one of these little m's. Right. Times what? Well, in this case, it's going to be C for us. Okay. It's part of it, yeah. Right. Okay. Let's see, in this case. Right, so you may get to the same thing thinking about the way you were in some cases. I'm going to encourage you to think about it in these terms. A common trap is to look at this and say it's in pure rotation and just end up using the simple form and forgetting about the other pieces. So we wrote up VC just a minute ago, right? What's that omega there? Yeah, that's the total angular velocity of the system. So in that sense, I'm just going to put sys here. Help us remember that's not of the frame, that's of the body we're discussing. So we have that back over here. We wrote up, we have HC up there. We have that system. We wrote up VC a second ago. Mass of the system, just 2m. So we have all the components we need for that, too. Okay. How else can we get to this? Particularly since we have just 2-point masses. kinetic energy of a point mass. Well, look, we can look here even. A point mass, does it have any, does a point mass have any angular velocity about its center of mass? No, it doesn't have any, it doesn't have any dimensions. It's infinitesimally small. Right, so you end up with, we could write, it's 1/2, not 1/m. Or you would have to write the total velocity of m1 and m2 is what v1 and v2 are there. Okay. In this case, that's probably not any simpler. Right. You got the, you know, you can write that velocity though. You guys know how to do that. So this often, and quite often, if you're doing something like this for your research, for example, or when your job, when you're out of here, you probably would want to solve it both ways and make sure they line up. That's a check that you got to write. You should get the exact same answer both ways. Right. And that's why important, particularly as graduate students, to know not just a method to solve a problem, but know multiple methods. Because quite often, one of them will be way easier, but it also gives you ways to kind of check your answer by solving the problem multiple ways. Remember, most of the things we're talking about, equations of motion, kinetic energy, those are properties of the system. Shouldn't matter what method you use to get there. Or doesn't matter what method you use to get there. All right. Questions about that? All right. So we touched on a point already, but let's make it a bit more explicit now. We've kind of already looked at this in pieces. Section 5.3. So just solve that for, you know, we use the kind of point mass formula for angular momentum, and saw that, hey, if we tried to define angular momentum, and particularly you're running into even more trouble with the rate of change of angular momentum, if we had tried to solve that two-mass thing as a body instead, depending on what frame we chose. So basically, if we want to avoid all those issues that we were kind of going to run into, if we use that as a body, we need to be careful about what we choose our frame to be. Right? And in particular, as we saw, you want frame you use to describe angular momentum to be body fixed when at all possible. Okay. That means that the angular velocity of the frame equals the angular velocity of the body. Right, so if we call this capital omega, and maybe this one for the body, smaller case omega, okay, if you look at angular acceleration, right, it is just total time derivative of the body's angular velocity. Right, so we have that as the time derivative, where we have that relative derivative term here, and then we have the angular velocity of the frame crossed with the angular velocity of the body we're describing by that. So if these two guys are equal, then we don't have to worry about this second term at all. Vector cross with itself is 0. So what that means for us is that our, we have chosen a body fixed frame, the angular acceleration is totally comprised of that relative derivative term of the angular velocity. Or maybe we could write it something like that if we have an angular velocity with three components, in this case in the I, J, K direction of omega 1, omega 2, omega 3, X, let's match those, sorry, X, Y, Z, then we know the relative of that, just the time derivative of each of those coefficients. So what that leads to for us is the total time derivative of the angular momentum being that, and us being able to write a simple form for that relative derivative of the angular momentum being, give me a second, this is going to take a second to write. Make sure I'm getting the pattern right, yes. Sorry, I got a little sloppy down here at the bottom. Okay. So basically, this guy, if we're thinking about it, in kind of vector form, ends up looking something like that. Right, where we have the inertia matrix that contains our moments of inertia and products of inertia. Right? We're just going to do that times the components of angular acceleration. And then this guy, basically, it's kind of a matrix form of that cross product. So we can write that equation in kind of a matrix form if we want as well. If we choose if the axes we choose are principal, what does that mean? To have a set of principal axes. Yeah, the products of inertia are zero. Right. So the axes are principal, we can kind of look at this and, hey, that's probably going to simplify things for us quite a bit. Right. And in fact, it does. We can write this equation this way. I think it has a nice pattern to it. So So once you get started, and that's HA dot, sorry, if we've chosen a set of principal axes. So we have all these products go away, so you just have those terms, and then the omega cross HA gets you the angular, the rotation rate components. Okay. This set of equations. Gets his name on everything. Of course, if you did as much as he did in his life, you should have your name on a few things too. Okay. Well, there's equations. Okay. So I think we talked about through this one time before. This seems like we'd always, you know, this so far, just this alone, suggests, hey, it's to a huge advantage to choose principal axes. Why would you not want to choose your axes to be principal? What are other considerations, in other words? Yeah, it simplifies how to write this equation. Remember the formula. Yeah, right. So remember that I have to describe these angular velocities and then therefore the angular acceleration in that same frame. Using that same set of axes if I'm going to use this simplified form of that equation. So there's some trade-off there, right? Yeah, I can get to the simpler form of the equation, but if these things become complex or hard to figure out, then you're not really saving any work. But this is always something, hey, could I use some set of principal axes? Is a question to kind of ask yourself. And what are the principal axes here?
Is that J-term definitely right? I feel like the ICZ and IXX should be swapped.
Nope. Yeah. It's always XYZ. XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. Which is why one reason people like this, that it's a nice pattern. It's always X, XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. Okay. We got a little bit of time. Let's work another example. Oh, before I do that, questions about this? Example 5.10, that 10. Give me a second to do some drawing. This is actually a right angle. We have a beam that's kind of there. He said that this length is B. And let's see. We defined another one. No, that should be fine. Okay. We have a few points. So we have this rod, it's kind of two through bearings, and then we have this kind of triangular plate that's kind of welded to it, if you will. We have this angle of this triangle. It's theta. And there is a right angle up at the top. Okay. We have a whole thing. It's spinning. Marker. This way at capital omega. And then let's call this first bearing point A. And the one coming out of the board is B. Okay. This guy, we're not going to assume that's constant for this problem. Make sure I've laid everything out. And just to make sure we kind of agree on it, we have some center of mass in this plate. And we'll call G. Okay. And basically what we want the rate of change of angular momentum of that plate, the body's center of mass. Okay. Take just a few minutes to maybe try setting that up, and then we'll try to at least lay out the setup, and then you can look at the math afterwards. Okay, let's try to talk through at least setting this one up. I doubt we'll get all the way through it, but the full solution will be in the notes. What's the first step here? Some kind of coordinate system. So what do I want to pick? Y along A, B.
And Z through G. So X is coming out.
So you have X, Y, and then Z is straight up from G. So you're saying this. I'm going to call it prime. X to Y, and then you had something like that. Okay, why'd you choose that? Not a bad choice. Any other suggestions? Okay. What's going to be the hard part of this axis with this in this problem? Find location of G. It's related to that. What do I need to know? I need to know HG, or the angular momentum about point G, right? If I'm going to find its rate of change. What do I need to know to determine that? The angular momentum. Okay. Well, I know right, plus blah blah blah. All right. You guys know the rest of the question. It's in the notes. Save ourselves Friday. So I'm going to need to know all these inertia properties of this relative to that, kind of within that frame I'm describing things about. Right. I'm going to do G. So I need to make, I'm going to have to make some transformations based on those, you know, to find those inertial properties. Because what you're going to find if you look this one up in the table, which is how we're going to almost always do these things, is it's going to want to give you inertia properties something like that, some set of axes around from the center of mass. So, right, if you look at the inertia properties up in a kind of moment of inertia table, there's one in the back of the book, they're going to define. So in this case, z is parallel to this side, y is parallel to that side, and x comes out. Right. So that's going to allow me to just look these things up and not have to do any kind of rotation of them, right, to be able to describe it in these frame, in these terms, or any kind of parallel axis theorem to move it over if I need to. Okay. So I also need then, right, I need to be able to write that. Well, what is the angular velocity of this bar? I'm going to define a vector. We have kind of one there that might work. I'm going to pick one that's positive that way, so that that guy is positive. So I know that's going to be where that E of A relative to B is just a unit vector from B to A. So that's positive. Okay. Then I need to take and resolve that into my IJK frame. So you can figure out that rotation. Right. This also means, right, that vector direction is fixed. That makes it easy for you to figure this out. It's just that. Because this vector direction is not moving at all. So you solve for this once, and you got both of those ready to go. Okay. And fill in all those terms, and you have angular momentum about point G. Once you resolve that back into this XYZ frame. Then you can look back and use the equations we just figured out for the rate of change of that guy and figure xg of dot out. And that's all in the notes. We're out of time to work through that math on the, I'll post the whole thing. But okay. Questions about that setup? I know that was kind of fast, but I wanted to at least talk through the first part of it, and then that way you can work through the rest of it from the notes.